Word of mouth.
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 Word of
mouth.
Rappers are monkey flipping with the funky rhythm. I be kicking, musician, inflicting composition of pain. I'm like...
From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Depending on who you ask, the literary genre known as street lit began when Charles Dickens published Oliver Twist, or in 1969 when Iceberg Slim came out with Pimp. These gritty, slightly lurid, often violent stories focus on the underside of city life. Popular titles today include Brother and the Dancer and The Ski Mask Way. Here is Honey Jones reading from Justify My Thug by Wahida Clark.
I desperately wanted to scream, click my heels together, and make myself disappear. I felt him. I could always feel his presence, and I tried to tell Trina that he was coming. Girl, chill, and let me get this... She whined. Well, I listened to her, and now look what chilling got me.
Clark is the author of a Thug series and a New York Times bestselling author three times over. With several new imprints and tie-ins with hip-hop labels and artists, Street Lit is making a play for the mainstream market. Darren Sands is a New York-based writer and freelance reporter for the New York Observer, where he wrote an article called Holler If You Read Me, African-American Writers and Readers Fret Over the Future of Thug Lit. And Darren, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Virginia. Thanks for having me.
So give us a little background on street lit, a genre that doesn't get a lot of traction here in New Hampshire.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, I got first sort of put onto street lit when I moved to New York City, and lots of, you know, self-published authors would sell books on the street. I went back and sort of just looked at how the genre has sort of evolved, and it hasn't really evolved a whole much to me. I just see as a sort of a pattern of very strong individual characters who have a sort of strong sense of moral justice, even though that they're a part of this sort of criminal underworld. But they do have a keen sense of who they are in the world and what they sort of bring. But the authors bring a certain humanization of the characters so that they're just not thugs. They're just not pimps. They're also people who sort of care about the place that they live. They care about their community. They care about their children and things like that.
You spent a lot of time with a woman named Wahida Clark, kind of the undisputed queen of street lit. Tell us a little bit about her.
Yeah, she knows that she's the undisputed queen. She's from Trenton, New Jersey. Her story sort of begins with her meeting her husband in jail, which was, I believe, was in Rahway. It's like the Rahway State Prison. And she describes in sort of very familiar detail meeting this man and being sort of enamored with his manner and the way that he sort of talked to her. And she ended up marrying him. This sort of becomes the emotional core of how she begins to think of herself as an author. And she's just a very interesting character. She's someone who I think lots of people in the genre look up to because of her personal story. She went to jail for money laundering, among some other things, and that's when she sort of really began to write. Her career took off when she was inside.
Are the people who are reading Wahida's books, is their boyfriend a thug? Is it voyeurism? Do they aspire to have a boyfriend who's a thug? I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question. And I don't think that necessarily her readers are these women, or and some men really too, who are living this sort of criminal lifestyle in a sort of a criminal underworld. I think her readers are middle class, working class folks who just find her material really interesting. I do think it is sort of voyeuristic. Lots of the people that read her books live very sort of ordinary lives. She rejects this notion, and a lot of the authors that I talk to believe the same thing. They sort of reject this notion that you have to sort of be this criminal or have a sort of a criminal background to be successful as a writer. They work on narrative devices and crafting story. You know what I mean? They think of themselves as people who craft fiction.
Darren Sands is with us. He's a freelance reporter for the New York Observer, and he wrote about the growth of street lit and where it's headed. And you're reminding me, when you're talking about this element of story, of especially, you know, early hip hop, and then a sort of evolution into gangster rap of kind of describing life in the inner city, right? Wasn't it Chuck D who famously said, like, rap is the CNN of the ghetto? Is this describing an understory that a lot of people do not get otherwise?
I don't know that it's so much describing what life is like in the inner city, so much as though I view the narrative and the storytelling as sort of a soap opera. The readers of the books would probably say, these characters are really familiar to me, but I don't think that they necessarily are reflecting what's happening in my neighborhood on a given day or week or year.
So it's a little more escape.
Yeah, I think it's more so about appreciating the story for what it is rather than some sort of reflection on what's happening in the inner cities.
We're talking with Darren Sands. He's a New York-based writer and a freelance reporter for the New York Observer, where he wrote about the popularity of urban street lit, also called thug lit. Urban lit seems to be sort of poised to jump from the ghetto to the mainstream. We have a couple of examples of that. Wahida Clark got signed to Cash Money Content. This is an imprint of Simon & Schuster, but it's actually run by the record label Cash Money. 50 Cent, the rapper, started this G-Unit Books a couple of years ago. It looks like now Prodigy from Mobb Deep is going to have a book out this summer on a new imprint called Infamous Books. So this does look like, you know, at a time when publishing is in a pretty tight spot, a lot of new imprints for urban lit. What do you think is going on here?
Well, it's interesting because that's a sort of a debate that's happening in the industry right now between agents and between writers of the genre and people who really care about the genre and even who study it academically. And it kind of surrounds this question of whether the genre is going to be around in the next 10 or 15 years, even mm-hmm. 5 years from now. And I think what you're seeing is people are willing to try because it's been so lucrative. Pimp is one of the highest selling books by an African-American author of all time.
No kidding.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that people are really interested in how you can bridge hip hop to literature. People would argue that hip hop really is literature.
Do you see them as distinct, the kind of urban lit market and then the sort of popular bestsellers?
That's a question I tried to answer with this story. And I don't know how successful I was. Personally, I do see them as distinct. You don't want to really say that the black community is a monolith, but lots of sort of people who observe the street lit genre, they push back against this idea that it's non-literary. If you read a lot of the text, some of it is actually like really interesting. It uses lots of really interesting language. From the author's perspective of street lit, they don't necessarily see themselves as separate and apart from the tradition of black literature. They don't necessarily see themselves as an other, you know, a quote-unquote other. But there's a whole sort of set of more literary thinkers who turn their nose up at the genre. But I think that there's a kind of new wave of thinking that isn't necessarily trying to be judgmental about the content. And they're looking more at, you know, what the emergence of the genre says about the state of the publishing industry, what it says about what we think about urban areas and what's happening. So I think it's really interesting in that respect.
Yeah, I wonder about that. You know, we have an African-American literature tradition, you know, from Zora Neale Hurston to James Baldwin to Toni Morrison. Will urban lit books be studied in African-American literature classes of the future?
I think absolutely so. I talked to a young man, his name is Kwan, it's K-W-A-N. He's an author who does lots of these sort of thug lit books. He's very, very bright guy. He really does see himself in the sort of tradition of, you know, really great African-American authors. It's just the way that it is. He, again, pushes back against this idea that this content, this sort of approach to literature is non-literary or that it's non-academic in nature. I don't know that we'll be teaching the text, but people are drawn to the genre because they see themselves in it. And I think that's something that you can't necessarily discount when you have kids dropping out of school at alarming rates, urban communities where there are no books. I'm sort of glad that it's the conversation has been more inclusive of everyone. And I think that that's important for literature and for the people who love to read.
Darren Sands, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Virginia.
Darren is a writer based in New York. He writes and reports for The New York Observer. We have a link to read his article, Holler If You Read Me, African American Writers and Readers Fret Over the Future of Thug Lit. That's at wordofmouthradio.org.
If ever I fall down and I need you to pick me up, promise me you be around. Hold me down. Now, listen, if you let me, I'll be the reason you shine. It's the secret. I want the world to know that you're mine. But on some real communications could be better. So I'm writing this song instead of a love letter. They gon' play it on the radio 100 times a day. I figured when you hear it, you would stop and think of me. I want to get to know you and be the reason you smile. Girl, you know where I'm from. You know how I get down. When times are tough, tell me that I'm special. Not rap, I mean.